Enjoy streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Christmas may be over, but the holiday travel rush is still on.
Many people escape the winter cold for sunny and warm spots to celebrate the season.
We're the place to be in the winter when it's snowing and cold other places.
That's Miami International Airport spokesman Greg Chin, who says they set some records the past few days.
We averaged from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday almost 190,000 passengers.
But the rush isn't over yet.
We expect a busy weekend this coming weekend and next week, even going into Three Kings Day when a lot of people travel from Latin America.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
From sun to snow, people in the plains are digging out now after a powerful snowstorm blanketed parts of the region. KWCH-TV's Sean Logging has been out in it.
It's been largely favorable road conditions for drivers along I-70 here in north central Kansas, as treated and cleared roads are making for fairly smooth driving. But heading west is when drivers are encountering more issues.
My boyfriend called kind of to give me a heads up saying there might be some road closures, so might make a quick detour.
Israel has lost more soldiers during attacks on Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip, says CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb.
In Gaza, six Israeli soldiers have been pronounced dead by the military, and over 240 Palestinians were killed in multiple Israeli airstrikes, according to the Hamas-run Ministry of Health.
The ministry says almost 21,000 people have died in Gaza since October 7th, when Hamas terrorists attacked southern Israel. We're learning more about those retaliatory U.S. airstrikes on Iranian-backed militia groups in Iraq. More from CBS's David Martin.
They hit three locations inside Iraq. They think they killed one or two militia members and wounded perhaps more than a dozen others.
The strikes were a response to a drone attack on a military base in northern Iraq that wounded three American troops, one critically. A new California law that raises the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour in April could be the reason more than 1,200 delivery drivers in the state are being laid off. The drivers work at hundreds of Pizza Hut locations. They'll lose their jobs by the end of February. One of our longtime CBS News radio colleagues has died. Anchor and correspondent Tom Foti was with this network for 26 years.
I'm Tom Foti. The Biden administration effectively gave itself an economic report.
Tom was a friendly man and a reliable and professional journalist, ready to do anything the network asked of him. He died at his home in Northern Virginia. Tom Foti was 77 years old. And now for a final time from Tom Foti.
This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Monday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also reached in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, just to name a few. Republicans plan to propose eliminating taxes on retirement income in Wisconsin this spring. Democrats say they'll work to make sure any tax cut is targeted to middle class.
We are going to make sure that anything that comes forward is focused on those families and those individuals who really need a little extra breathing room.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers back at work. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers coaching staff getting their game plan ready. After reviewing their win over the Carolina Panthers, Matt LaFleur says Jordan Love's quarterback sneak for a touchdown was an audible.
One cool moment was when we were on the goal line there in the first half, and he audible to that quarterback sneak. I think that shows kind of the level of growth that he's had in his game. That was a pretty cool moment.
The Packers face the Vikings in Minnesota Sunday night. The Bucks on the road face the Brooklyn Nets 6:30 tomorrow night after losing to the New York Knicks Christmas Day 129-122. Adrian Griffin.
Nothing changes as far as after every game. You take the good, you look at what you did well, and then you look at what you can do better. So just our job as coaches to, again, prepare them, be the most prepared team that we can be. No, it's not going to be easy, but do the things that go on to win, you got a good chance.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly clear here in the overnight. Lower 30s expected by daybreak. Our winds will be light. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies near the 40-degree mark. North winds 5 to 10. A little bit of light rain late Wednesday night. Right now, it's 31.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. No Dom, but I got Nate. Nate, I'm calling this the post-Christmas May My Opponent's Rotten Hell Tuesday edition. How you doing, Nate?
I'm doing okay. Did you have a good holiday?
I'm here. My daughter's not here, so I figure if Kelsey's not here to entertain us and regale us with her stories of the leftist coast, then, you know, I might as well talk relevant, live, politically here on the radio with you, Nate, because, you know, the people need us here. I don't know. Are we on a News Talk Radio Network? Because I thought there was some live news and talking involved, but here we are. We'll do it. We'll carry the load. You know, I got a little bit of a sore back. It's from carrying the load. Usually that just means Dom. Merry Christmas to my little buddy, even though, you know, he doesn't celebrate. He's not a Christian. Pagan atheist that he is. You know, he still accepts Christmas gifts and drinks and the such, I bet. Just doesn't give him so much. But, you know, anyways, little buddy, if you're out there listening, why? Why? I know you don't like the show so much. You know, you just do it because. But anyways, folks, you're going to enjoy this show, and you can be a part. 844-967-2789. Because there's some important news that you might have missed over the Christmas holiday. And, you know, Merry Christmas to all those that's celebrating. That's pretty much everyone. At least you get some time off work, right? Hopefully. But a big ruling came down on Friday. A Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling, and this sort of dominated our Friday conversation. If you weren't there with us, you know, I get it. Busy time of year, holidays and such. But today we're going to catch you up. And we actually have some updates on this story. And, you know, we've got a greater update on Robin Voss and the whole rotten hell thing. That's not a Crudy original. That's what the former president, that was his Christmas sentiment to the nation and his opponents, of course. But we'll hold off on that. We'll talk about that later in the big show, perhaps in the happy hour question mark. But for now, we're going to talk about what happened in the great state of Wisconsin, because this will impact the politics tremendously here in the state we live in. And again, I don't know if I threw the phone number out there, you know, been a couple days since I did live radio, but 844-967-2789. Promise, we're live. If you call, Nate will answer. We'll get to you eventually. But let's give you the newest update in the court case, the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Republicans likely to take Wisconsin gerrymandering case back to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, Jesse Apoy and Molly Beck at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel I could not disagree more with your headline. And I understand the journalists don't always have the benefit of writing their own headline. I don't think the U.S. Supreme Court wants this, but here's why. And we talked about it, and we'll give you a little of the reporting, and then I'll give you more of my, you know, Trudy Christmas opinions. Republican lawmakers are likely heading back to the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't think they will. I don't think they can. But anyways, are likely heading back to the U.S. Supreme Court to defend Wisconsin's electoral maps that have delivered huge GOP majorities for years. But they'll first have to convince the nation's high court it has a reason to intervene in the dispute. You do not. I read on. The Wisconsin Supreme Court on Friday ordered the Republican-controlled state legislature to draw new legislative boundaries ahead of the 2024 election, arguing the maps are unconstitutional because many districts' boundaries are not contiguous, meaning they include pieces of land that are not connected. And the court, in a 4-3 decision, said it also prepared to replace the state's heavily gerrymandered maps if the legislature and the Democratic governor cannot agree on a new plan. There'll be no new plan. So I think this was prudent action on behalf of the court. If you're going to order new maps, you got to be able to put them in place in time for next year. 2024's vital elections. So they've put a plan A in place. Go do the right thing, Robin Voss and LeMahieu, and come to agreement over fair maps with the governor. And all this goes away quiet. But that's not going to happen. Or we'll continue to use outside consultants, and they've named their consultants. They're pretty famous map cartographer sort of people. So they'll have their team drawing the maps. But the underlying reason and rationale for this decision, as was stated in the majority decision, as written by Kurofsky, and I read big chunks of this majority decision on Friday. Got to be honest, haven't read any more of it since, but I trust my memory in this regard. The contiguous nature of the districts, that was the big sticking point. They're not contiguous. In fact, there are lots of districts that are not contiguous here in the state of Wisconsin. And what the majority decision said is we rely upon the Wisconsin Constitution, which says they must be contiguous, and they're not. Therefore, we throw out all the maps. You must redraw all the assembly districts. You must redraw all the state Senate districts. So 99 assembly districts, 33 Senate districts. You got 3 assembly districts. They glom them together, and that's the Senate district. And everyone in the assembly must run on the new maps in 2024. Every 2 years, the assembly, everyone's up for re-election. And in the state Senate, the senators that won their offices 2 years ago, they get something of a reprieve from this Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. Everybody else is on the new maps. As would normally be the case, I believe 16, 17 Senate races every 2 years. So that's the way it works. And that is what the court has cast here, and it's supposed to happen pretty rapidly. But that's not what Republicans want to hear. Certainly not Robin Voss. He loves these maps. He's been the longest impaneled speaker of the Assembly of the great state of Wisconsin because of these gerrymandered maps. You know, what's his favorite saying? Well, you know, if the Dems just had better candidates with better ideas. And he sort of repeats that message today. And he sort of makes this over-conflation. Let me read a little bit further from the reporting. Again, Jesse Poyen, Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, said the U.S. Supreme Court would have the last word in the matter, suggesting he plans to ask the nation's high court to reconsider the state Supreme Court decision. Here's a quote. Voss: "We will pursue all federal issues arising out of the redistricting litigation at the U.S. Supreme Court." A bold statement, full of malarkey. Full of malarkey. That's not how it works. In order to get the U.S. Supreme Court to look at the case, again, I'm reading from the journalist here, the legislature and its allies will need to make the argument that there was a violation of federal law. That's because, explained Rob Yablin, University of Wisconsin Law School professor and co-director of the State Democracy Research Initiative, the core legal claim in the case, contiguous, whether or not the districts are contiguous, that was the defining issue of the majority decision, is a matter of state law, state constitution. So Robin Voss, you can talk a good game, but I'm not exactly sure what the federal cause would be. Now, again, to the journalist here. The case brought to the court argued the maps violate Wisconsin's constitution, because some legislative districts include pieces of land that are not connected. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has the last word on state law issues, according to Yablin, the constitutional law professor. Now, a request for the U.S. Supreme Court to weigh in on a state Supreme Court decision or a federal appeals court decision is known as a petition for certiorari, or a cert petition. Under U.S. Supreme Court rules, 4 of 9 justices must vote to accept such a case. So you got to get 4. You got 6 conservatives. So you could probably gather 4, but you got to have reason. And the reason's got to be a federal reason. Can't be, I don't like the ruling. Although you got to wonder with this partisan makeup of the court, I still think Robin Voss is wrong. Here is more. The majority did a really intentional job of sticking to a very narrow state constitutional issue, which has the effect of insulating a lot of the decision from the U.S. Supreme Court review. Now, this according to Daniel Suhr, a Republican attorney who served in the Scott Walker administration. When a case is decided on only state constitutional grounds, there's not a U.S. constitutional hook for the Supreme Court to rely on in intervening. Yeah, that's going to be a problem for you, Robin Voss. You can talk a good game, but you don't have the hook. That leaves anyone intent on challenging the decision to find a federal hook. Well, you know, they'll go looking. And the hook they're going to seek, well, it's got to come from Protasiewicz, right? This newly elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, she came to the court telling you it was rigged. The maps were rigged. And we now see her decision, this 4-3. She ruled with the majority that they were indeed rigged because they're not contiguous. A little bit more from the reporting here. Usually, this is a quote again from the Republican attorney. Usually, to go to the Supreme Court, we have to have a final judgment. The case has to be over and resolved. And it's not clear to me that this is where we are. Well, so what? But the one argument, and I guarantee this will be the hook, if you will, that Robin Voss and his ilk and, you know, outside counsel funded by we, the taxpayers' money. That's a Christmas gift that we give to the Republicans each and every time. Remember during the lame duck when they made that decision for all the Wisconsin taxpayers? Not only were they going to hamstring the Democratic governor in the will of the electorate, and of course the attorney general by extension, but they were also going to, you know, change a few things, mostly for their own benefit. So when we come back, we're going to tell you why these Republicans think that Protasiewicz might be the key to hooking the U.S. Supreme Court and somehow overturning this. Seems like a long shot. Robin Voss, contiguous state constitutional issues, but they're going to go after Protasiewicz. More devil's advocates. It's the day after Christmas. We're live, I promise.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Malarkey. The devil's advocates invented malarkey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Yours truly, Crudy, taking you post-Christmas holiday, because someone's got to do some live radio up around here. So I'm here. And Nate's here, lightly screening your phone calls. If you'd like to be part of the show, join us, 844-967-2789. And I've got a few show notes before we get back to the redistricting case. In the latest news, you know, Robin Voss claiming he's running to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's the latest. I don't think he's got much for prayer, but if they're going to get there, the vessel will be Protasewicz. So we'll explain what we mean in just a minute. At least I'll try to see what I can do. And I still got the Christmas munchy mouth. And I've also got some exciting news, some show notes for you, our fair audience. Do you know the Packers are playing the Vikings on New Year's Eve? Had you looked forward? I mean, we just got through Christmas. I get that. New Year's Eve Packer-Viking game. Actually, it's Packers at Vikings. And it probably is instrumental for the playoffs. So even our friends listening on KTNF, you know, the progressive voice of Minnesota, 950 AM, they got a little rooting interest in this affair as well. Well, I suspect many of you will include Packer viewership or listenership in your, you know, your New Year's even. So what I would ask is you would consider listening on WRJN, 1400 AM down in Racine, Kenosha, or, you know, get one of our FMs down there, 99.9 or 98.1, or you can listen to the Big Q in the Northwoods, 98.3 FM, and our anchor down in Richland Center, WRCO, also going to have the Packers for you. I believe that's 100.9. I know it's 100.9. I just say it, you know, just to make myself less of a radio geek because I've memorized all these different call signs. But anyways, Packers, New Year's Eve night. And then I'm going to need a solid out of some of you people. It's a lot to ask. I'm going to need you to get up early before the Badger Bowl game because the Badgers will be playing on New Year's Day. Do you know the Badgers had a New Year's Day Bowl? Suck it, Ohio State. You don't have a New Year's Day Bowl. We do. The ReliaQuest Bowl. You know, that's going to be one of the big ones because we're in it. And we're playing against LSU. And there will be no Heisman Trophy winning Jaden Daniels playing for LSU. And there'll be no Braylon Allen playing for the Badgers. But there will be a bowl game at 11 o'clock, and we will play it across the Civic Media Network on all our four Badger stations. Look them up locally, but no stream. No stream. So no Jaden Daniels, no Braylon Allen, no Civic Media stream. Not permitted during the bowl game. But here's the ask part, the small ask. I'm going to kick off the year. And we're going to make a big announcement. We're launching a tour, a Fall in Love with Democracy tour 2024. I guess I already announced it. But going on a national outlet on New Year's Day morning, I need you to get up with me. It's going to be kind of early. It's going to be a bit of an ask. Some of you that celebrate the amateur hour the night before, post-Packer game, stay out too late, you're going to have a little trouble. But set the alarm. Do it now. Do it now so you don't forget. But I'm going to need you to get up by 8 a.m. Central Time and watch Crudy talking about politics and the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision that affects the maps and perhaps the politics here for the next 6-7 years in the great state of Wisconsin. Maybe make the case for, you know, talk radio as a platform. You know, that's how I see the prism of most things in this world. And anyways, we're going to launch the Love for Democracy Tour 2024 on the C-SPAN at 8 o'clock on New Year's Day morning. That's a Monday. And if I got to get up, I would appreciate if you also considered at least setting the DVR, watching Crudy. We'll talk about the next day on the big show. Dom will be back with me on January 2nd, but I'll be on the C-SPAN January 1st. And I would expect at least a couple of you to get up and watch the C-SPAN that day. You know, I'll try to make it entertaining for you. I'm not going to burn it down like I did with the Fox News, but I'll try to make it fun. 844-967-2789. Your participation always makes it a little better. Dick from Madison. Did you have a Merry Christmas, my friend?
I certainly did. I hope you did, too. Can I change the subject to my opponents should rot in hell?
You can, but you'd be a little premature, but I'll let you get there.
Okay.
What a wonderful just Christmas thing. Sentiment Donald Trump
yes,
had.
Wasn't it, though?
For the vermin.
Here's my thing. Number one, where are true Christians on this, and why are they not speaking up? You know, they have to wake up at some point and call us out. Didn't Jesus make a call to welcome a stranger and love one's neighbor, you know?
Well, the kid was born in a manger, right? If you believe the Bible,
right.
He was born in a manger.
Yeah.
They weren't exactly greeted with open arms upon the birth of our Savior.
So this is why I have a problem with the evangelical wing. I mean, they say nothing, sit on their hands about this, and actually tell you they'll still vote for him. Donald Trump is not your Savior. He's just only pretends to be that. And wouldn't that be worshiping false idols? I mean, the guy is the furthest thing from a Christian human being on earth. And this stuff from the weekend, on Christmas Day, the President of the United States calls all the wings of the armed forces, does all the right things, and this clown comes out with this. He's unhinged. He's totally lost his mind.
Well, we seem very specific. Merry Christmas to all, including crooked Joe Biden, Only's Hope, deranged Jack Smith, an out-of-control lunatic who has hired outside attorneys fresh from the swamp unprecedented to help him with this poorly executed witch hunt. And then you know, sort of the closing statement, may they rot in hell again, Merry Christmas. See, he said yeah. Merry Christmas at the end, Dick. You know, like, go peacefully.
Well,
Merry Christmas. As long as you throw that disclaimer at the end, you can say whatever you want.
Well, I guess, but I just find it a little bit, way beyond disingenuous. But my God in heaven, the guy has totally lost his mind. I couldn't even believe this coming from him. I can, but not on Christmas Day is what I'm saying.
But you think he tempers it on Christmas Day?
Well, I would have thought he would for the people out there just to, you know, promote his phoniness some more. But no, I don't think he would temper it in private around people that he, you know, hangs with. I don't at all. He's probably far worse. Wouldn't you like to hear him unplugged?
No, not really. Not really, Dick. Not really. Because, you know, I think I'd be offended. I think he's probably a racist. I read his book, Donald Trump Revealed, some years ago. And he actually sat down for interviews for that book. And Dick, I'm glad you're listening, man. I'm glad somebody's listening today. Day after Christmas. We're doing it live around here. But in the Trump book, Trump Revealed. Effectively, there were multiple incidences of his bigotry and his blatant racism. He only wanted Jews counting his money, never black people in the casinos. He would not rent to colored people, and I use the vernacular he used. They actually wrote a C on the applicant's file when they came to his dad's places in New York City. And he fought the federal government on this. And he had a consent decree, basically admitted guilt, and then didn't follow through on the consent decree. But Trump's got a long history of racism. And, you know, man, I'm not going to wreck my post-Christmas or the rest of any moment of my life hanging out with racists if I can help it. Come back. More Devils. 844-967-2789.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
CBS News Brief. You got where you wanted to go for Christmas. Now it's time to get back. Here's CBS News New York reporter Nick Calloway at Newark International Airport.
TSA predicts that this Friday, December 29th, and Monday, January 1st, will be the busiest days at airports across the U.S. as we round out the holiday travel rush. Travelers are urged to get to the airport at least 2 hours before your flight.
Longtime CBS News radio anchor and correspondent Tom Foti has died. CBS News radio correspondent Peter King knew him well.
I'm Tom Foti, and a very
he had been a mainstay for CBS News Radio since 1998. His family's home in Budapest leveled in the middle of the 1956 Hungarian Revolution. The Fotis escaped to Austria and then the U.S. Tom later worked in news radio in New York, Washington, covering everything from government affairs to international news.
Tom Foti died at his home in Northern Virginia this week. He was 77. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gasoline prices in Wisconsin are going down when the rest of the country is going up. Gas Buddy says the average price for regular in Wisconsin is $2.72. That's almost 3 cents lower than last week. The national average price of gasoline has risen almost 3 cents to $3.07 a gallon. Political observers say black voters in Milwaukee will be key to winning Wisconsin in the race for president next year. Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells WISN-TV's Up Front that's why President Biden was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee last week.
There's a reason why, of all places he could have gone, he chose the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. He's doing outreach to the African-American community.
The president has work to do to get his message across. The latest Marquette poll has Biden's job approval rating in Wisconsin at 42%. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning mostly clear here in the overnight. Lower 30s expected by daybreak. Our winds will be light. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies near the 40-degree mark. North winds 5 to 10. A little bit of light rain late Wednesday night. Right now it's 28.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. And click on the Careers tab.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday after Christmas. It's live, I swear. It's me and Nate. And we've been acknowledged, Jeff from Shorewood on the text line. Nate, Crudy and the great Nate. Dom should be docked some salary for skating out. Need some more content from Nate, though. Might have to turn to you, Nate, later in the show. You know, Nate's also got the role of lightly screening the calls around here, Jeff. You know, you'd know that if you ever called. 844-967-2789. Also got a nice text. Listen in the Heartland. H-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. Heartland. W-A-U-K listener. Appreciate everyone listening the day after Christmas. Especially appreciate those that play a part at 844-967-2789. Phone or text works either way. And back to the U.S. Supreme Court, the threats of Robin Foss, claims he's going to take the ruling of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, written by Kurofsky. This is the 4-3 ruling dropped on Friday that said everybody gets new maps for Christmas. Only that's not what Robin Voss really wanted. He really, really likes the current maps because they've made him the Speaker of the Assembly for years, right? And he gets to do whatever sort of malfeasant crap he wants to do and gets away with it primarily. But his threat, I'm going to run this all the way up to the flagpole, the U.S. Supreme Court, doesn't hold a lot of water, at least if his claim is regarding the actual ruling of the court. Because the Kurofsky ruling, the majority ruling, the 4-3 ruling was about the contiguous nature of the districts, which is in the Wisconsin Constitution. And effectively, if you read this majority decision, they even include visual aids for guys like Robin Foss, just so you can see it with your own beady little eyes, Robin. So the ruling is about the contiguous nature and the fact that our current maps aren't. In the fact that constitutionally, under the Wisconsin Constitution, they must be. Seems like a pretty open and shut case. Robin Voss, oh, I'm going to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, what's the hook, Robin? What's the hook that makes you eligible or would make the U.S. Supreme Court, A, first take this case up, and B, overturn a state Supreme Court on a state court ruling about a state law? Well, what's the federal hook? So back to the reporting at the Journal Sentinel, Jesse Apoyan and Molly Beck. One GOP argument could focus on Janet Protasiewicz. Pretty sure this is the route they'd probably take. One potential approach, legal experts said, would be a federal due process claim based on the court's newest member, Justice Janet Protasiewicz's involvement in the case. Protasiewicz, who was elected with an 11-point margin in April, received about $10 million from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin over the course of her campaign. Now, what's not spelled out here is her opponent, Dan Kelly, also was the grandiose recipient of in-kind and cash contributions from the Republican Party of Wisconsin. This became a partisan race, but of course, it's only a problem because the lefty won, and that changed the makeup, the majority of the court. So back to the reporting here. Lawmakers and others who called for Protasiewicz to recuse herself from the redistricting case argued new maps could disproportionately benefit Democrats. Protasiewicz, in her decision to stay on the case, argued the party's campaign contributions were not relevant because the party was not a litigant in the case and because doing so would create an unworkable precedent for all of her colleagues who have also benefited from party contributions. Well, hell, Janet, they wouldn't sit out. You know, especially if contributions came more than a year ago, right, David Prosser? But anyways, back to the reporting here. Under the U.S. Constitution's Due Process Clause, a judge must recuse if they have a financial interest in the case. Well, that would not be applicable here. Or if there's a strong possibility of bias. The bar for that has been set very high. There are very serious concerns that have been raised in the public debate and presumably raised by the parties,
according to the Republican attorney, sir. But at the same time, it's an extremely high standard for anybody to get their case taken by the U.S. Supreme Court. And this one won't be an exception to that general reticence on the part of the justices to intervene, especially in state-specific litigation like this. So I don't know if, you know, Protasiewicz is your golden ticket. But Yablon, again, that's the constitutional law professor and Marquette University Law School professor Chad Oldfather said such a claim would be rooted in a 2009 U.S. Supreme Court decision, Caperton v. Massey. In that case, a 5-4 liberal majority ruled that a state Supreme Court justice in West Virginia violated the due process clause by refusing to recuse himself from an appeal of a $50 million jury verdict after the CEO of the lead defendant spent $3 million supporting his campaign. So, Supreme Court justice didn't recuse, got $3 million from Massey, who was the defendant in the case, and didn't recuse. The court concluded that there is a serious risk of actual bias when a person with a personal stake in the case has significant and disproportionate influence in placing the judge on the case by raising funds or directing the judge's election campaign when the case was pending or imminent. Well, here's the big difference. Massey, who gave money directly, unlike, you know, like when David Prosser was the direct recipient of campaign dollars from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, or the Wisconsin Realtors Association, WRA, you know, the very two same institutions that helped to write the porous Swiss cheese, never got a recusal rules for Wisconsin Supreme Court. I mean, under our recusal rules written by the WMC and the WRA, you don't have to recuse under any circumstance. Just ask David Prosser when these two were litigants before the court. Prosser excused himself from recusal by saying, well, the millions they gave me was over a year ago. So why would it matter? It's going to be pretty hard to my, you know, layman's opinion. I'm no legal mind here, but come on, man, this is ridiculous stuff. Now back to the reporting. The court concluded there is a serious risk of actual bias when a person with a personal stake in the case has a significant disproportionate influence placing the judge on the case by raising funds or directing the judge's election campaign when the case was pending or imminent. Again, that is not the case for Janet Protasiewicz here. The determination includes the relative size of the contribution in comparison to all money supporting the campaign, the total amount spent in the election, and how much the contribution appeared to affect the election's outcome. This situation is distinguishable from Caperton in a lot of ways. Here's the most important one. The Democratic Party was not a litigant. The issue was a key issue in the campaign as contrasted with Caperton, where the donations were on behalf of a coal company and were mostly made via an organization called And For the Sake of Kids. And the defendants are not private parties, but rather entities obligated to represent the best interest of the same we the people who elected Justice Protasiewicz, that according to Oldfather at Marquette University. Plus, Caperton was a decision dissented from by most of the court's conservatives. I'm mildly skeptical that SCOTUS will overturn the decision, but these days, who knows? Yablon agreed that a claim modeled after the Caperton would be a long shot. Well, Robin Voss, that's the only shot you got. Because the U.S. Supreme Court is not going to take up the case and overturn this predicated on the actual majority ruling. Again, Kurofsky talked about the contiguous nature. That's the part that doesn't comport with the Wisconsin Constitution. And if anybody's ever spelled that out, it was our buddy Mark from the SAC, who's on line one. Mark, welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks for taking
it. Yeah, Merry Christmas, man. Hope you had a good one.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, I started reading the dissent, and I just noticed the mean girl comments that Justice Ziegler was making, and that I just was getting too angry. You know,
well, Hagedorn had a few mean girl comments as well, but I also read Ziegler. She was over the top a bit, Mark.
And it's just ridiculous. And I would remind Brian Hagedorn, if I remember correctly, wasn't he part of Scott Walker's team when they redistricted back in 2011, that he was advising Scott Walker on the maps back then. So if the man had any had integrity when it came to redistricting, he probably should have recused himself. I mean, that, and Justice Ziegler, I can't get over the one where she actually was reprimanded or disciplined or whatever it was back when she judged on cases her husband was involved in. I mean, here this woman is talking about, you know, that how horrible it is, you know, this decision was made back in, after, right after the, when the election was decided in the favor of Florida Salish. Well, I call BS on that because, I mean, that it is just, that she said, well, you know, you have to wait for it to find, you know, under what she's saying and what the conservatives are saying, well, you have to wait till the 10 years is up before we can have a constitutional remedy here. Well, those maps were unconstitutional in the first place because of the contiguous issue. As I think I stated last week, is that the justices are claiming they're there to uphold the Constitution. Well, where the heck were they when these maps were laid out, these previous maps were laid out before them and violated the contiguous and the compactness clauses in the Constitution? They weren't there. They weren't defending it. They weren't looking at that. And if they are such solons of justice, then why the heck weren't they safeguarding the Constitution against the maps in the first place?
Well, excellent question you ask. I wanted to make sure that Hagedorn indeed, and I did verify your math, Mark, and I think it's absolutely correct here. Just, you know, going to the easiest source, Wikipedia, the life in early years of Brian Hagedorn. Hagedorn was an attorney at a Milwaukee firm, Foley and Laudner, until 2009, when he was appointed as a law clerk to the Wisconsin Supreme Court's Justice Michael Gableman. I mean, what distinguished service. In 2010, Hagedorn was employed as an assistant attorney general in the Wisconsin Department of Justice under J.B. Van Hollen. Had nearly forgotten about the former AG. In December of 2010, Hagedorn was appointed chief legal counsel to Republican governor-elect Scott Walker. He remained in that office through July of 2015. And if I recall the time frame of this initial redistricting that baked the most partisan gerrymander in perhaps the nation's history into the cake, well, he would have been the legal counsel to Walker. That happened in the 2011 time frame after the 2010 census and the subsequent wave election, you know, pushing back on the Obamacare repeal and replace. 844-967-2789. Let's go, Paul. Merry Christmas, man. Welcome back.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Crudy. Mark hit a lot of the high points I was going to bring up, but, you know, when this first came down, Voss, all of a sudden he didn't want nothing to do with the Iowa way of doing it, which is independent. All of a sudden he was on board with that. And I can't see that. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court is on the take to begin with, so I don't see them taking this case because originally, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they threw it back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then Hilgendorf, or whatever his name is, Hilgeborn, or
Hagedorn.
I can't get the name on.
Hagedorn.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he just threw up his hands and said, "Oh, the heck with it then," and he just agreed with them. So. I really don't think the Supreme Court's going to take this, but if they don't, all they got to do now is drag this out, right, Crudy? If they drag this out for three, 4 or 5 months,
it would be more problematic if they actually accepted this, the writ of certiorari, if they took it up and then, you know, took oral arguments. And I mean, they wouldn't make a ruling until next summer, Wisco, and that would be too slow. I mean, it could happen on the rocket docket, but the rocket docket meaning they could take it out of time and place and just grab it and go rule on it now. That's what Jack Smith had asked in regards to, you know, Trump's presidential immunity. But anyways, Wisco, Paul, no, I don't envision the U.S. Supreme Court wants any part of a state law issue about contiguous districts and to try and throw Justice Protasiewicz off for failure to recuse would make them all look in a mirror, and that's not a pretty sight. Thank you, Wisco Paul Moore, Devil's Advocates. Come on back.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money.
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Tuesday edition post-Christmas. That means we're live. We're doing it live up in here. And that means you can participate. 844-967-2789. Want to turn the topic slightly. We're still going to play some backyard politics here. Great state of Wisconsin, where I'm originating from, the Solidarity Realty Studios right here, Madison, Wisconsin. And the guy that is being featured here at the Guardian works like a block away from me at the Wisconsin State Capitol, just on the top end of State Street. I'm like a block away. And the headline here at the Guardian, and I appreciate, I think maybe Kurt shared this with me over the Christmas holiday. The headline at The Guardian, a Wisconsin right-winger's fall from conservative grace. And then the additional part, sort of the quote part of the headline, the MAGA crowd despises him. And I'm speaking about Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And they do indeed despise you in many ways, Robin. And I want to throw this out, you know, because he is worth your derision. In early December, a right-wing Wisconsin organization called HOT, H-O-T, government, sent out a breathless email. Mike Lindell, the pillow salesman, turned election conspiracy theorist and staunch Donald Trump ally, had nominated an important Wisconsin politician for a dubious award. The prize would go to a person who exemplifies leadership in being an obstacle to stopping election crime, the email declared. Lindell's target wasn't a Democrat, nonpartisan election official, or even a moderate Republican. It was Robin Voss, the powerful Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker. And the nomination reflects a stark turn of fortunes for Voss, who has spent more than a decade using every tool. Oh, and he's a tool. Every tool at his disposal to cement Republican power in Wisconsin, touting a deeply conservative record, including on voting. Voss helped redraw the state's legislative maps in 2011, ensuring Republican control of the legislature ever since. The same year, he followed former Republican Governor Scott Walker's lead in creating the most restrictive voter identification law in the country and passing legislation to kneecap union power in a state where organized labor was once the core of the Democratic coalition. So those of us locally here, most of you listening, you know Robin Voss. You know, he's not a good man. You know, he's been at the center of Moulton's malfeasance here in the state of Wisconsin for a decade or more. So I'm going to spare you some of the history, and I'm going to jump down in the body of the Guardian piece. But I would encourage you, I've got this posted at the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Read it for yourself. Don't believe me. But Bill Leaders had some things to say about him. Under Voss's leadership, the Republican-controlled legislature has flexed outsized power in Wisconsin. While statewide races are often determined by vanishingly narrow margins, Republicans can comfortably count on strong majorities in the legislature. We mentioned the product of the 2011 redistricting law Voss helped craft. He currently presides over a 64-35 seat majority in the Assembly, which he has leveraged to strengthen Republican power in the state. Now, here's a quote from Voss. Democrats can't accept that because they think the only reason they're losing is the maps. Maybe it's your strategy. Now, Voss has said something to the effect of, you know, they have better candidates, better ideas. That's what Robin Voss said. But Robin Voss has also been a guy who doesn't really like to act in the daylight. And in fact, has changed many of the laws affecting legislature disclosure, let's say to the press. I'm going to read again from the body of this Guardian piece. In 2015, Voss even tried to bring about a law that would shield state lawmakers entirely from the public records request. The efforts failed, but he and other members of the caucus are known to habitually delete their work emails, a practice that, while legal, makes it harder for journalists and the public to access documents. And here's a quote from Bill Leaders, a political journalist and the president of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. When it comes to sunshine and government, Robin Voss is the Prince of Darkness.
I'm the Prince of Darkness.
Yeah, the Prince of Darkness. So anyways, let's talk about where Voss lost him. After years of fighting Democrats, the 2020 election brought Voss into a separate and unexpectedly fierce conflict with his own party. A day before the scheduled certification of the presidential election in Congress, as Trump supporters piled into buses headed for D.C. for a rally that would devolve into the January 6th Capitol riot, 14 Wisconsin lawmakers, including 13 members of the assembly, signed a letter addressed to Mike Pence, the vice president, urging him not to certify the election. The missive, signed by lawmakers in five swing states, accused governors and state officials of obfuscation and intentional deception, and claimed state legislatures had the final say in certifying election results. The chair and vice chair of Wisconsin's Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections were among the signatories. Voss did not sign, but in a press conference that day, he told reporters he took the party's right-wing base seriously and said the widespread doubt about the election results called for a reevaluation of the electoral process. Since then, he sought to walk a tightrope of appeasing his base while refusing to bow to the wildest demands. But that's proven challenging. Trump and his allies spent months filing lawsuits to overturn his loss in Wisconsin and other states, and win his lawsuit asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court, this was before Protasiewicz, to toss out thousands of votes cast in the Democratic strongholds failed. He tried to pressure Voss and other Republicans in the legislature to decertify the elections themselves. I think it's unlikely we would find enough cases of fraud to overturn the election. Well, that's what Voss said. But then he hired Michael Gableman, right? He says in this article at The Guardian, one of my biggest regrets was hiring Gableman. He was way wackier than I thought. Well, the guy was out at Stop the Steal rallies immediately. Dude, you knew how wacky he was. You were trying to appease the Trump, the MAGA, right? You're trying to hold him at bay. Well, now they came for you. And in fact, Donald Trump came to Wisconsin looking for him. Under pressure from Trump, Voss in 2021 announced an investigation into the election, appointing Gableman, a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. And we found out today, Hagedorn clerked under Gableman. What a fine distinction. Who had bolstered Trump's disproven claims of election fraud and spoken at Wisconsin's Stop the Steal rally shortly after the 2020 election as special counsel. During his investigation, Gableman traveled across the U.S., speaking at elections conferences hosted by Mike Lindell and viewing the discredited Cyber Ninjas election audit in Maricopa County, Arizona. A year later, when the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled the use of ballot drop boxes during the 2020 election was unlawful, the former president approached Voss with the call to decertify the election. And when he didn't do it, Voss endorsed Adam Steen. And Steen almost beat Voss. And let's not forget, new maps or not, Voss is going to get primaried by Adam Steen again this year. Come back, a happier happy hour post-Christmas edition.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.